Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful to be with you on this 21st day of July 2019. I really am. I'm very, very grateful. We're going to take a look at something that I think is pertinent to every single person listening to my voice and pertinent to those of us who are working on ourselves, and it's about our past, living with our past. And it is a very difficult thing sometimes when we look back at some of the crazy things we did, some of the cruel things we did, and wonder, you know, how do you live with that? And I get these questions from time to time, not often. So when I do, I jump on it. So these are recent questions I've gotten in the last couple of weeks. And they're so pertinent. They're so important. I hope you don't miss this this program and what I'm really talking about. I again want to remind you that if you're listening to this program, you're gaining anything out of it, don't you think it's time to give a donation, become a sponsor, help us sustain our radio program as we are seeking to just, you know, sustain our efforts here on Aspire, my efforts at hospice and all the other things that I do to serve not only the community, but humankind in general, and this radio program, which is very important, as well as our TV programs that we offer on our website at aspire.org. So I'm hoping that you will take a look or a listen, become a sponsor. For your generosity, you receive the message of the month, each and every month, of course. And it's always on some pertinent subject that I'm working on for the month. I always have a theme that coincides with my message of the month, my breath journal, and my discourses. So they're all tied together in a neat little package for you. And I hope that you watch, read, and listen. You also get access to my commentaries, and they are for very special people, very, very special people who are authentically working on themselves, or like to believe they are, but really aren't, and maybe helping them along a little bit. It takes a tremendous amount of inner fortitude and self-honesty to be in an authentic practice, and living with what we have done to ourselves and what we have done to others sometimes can be daunting, to say the least. So, you know, your gifts go to help you in many, many ways, help other people in many different ways, not just this radio program or the TV programs, but my work at hospice. So please help. Become a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. aspire.org. There at the top of the page, you will see sponsor, or you'll see support, I should say. Hit that. A drop-down menu will ensue, and you can take a look at why support Aspire, and it will tell you everything you need to know. Our past, how do we deal with it? A lot of people don't think they have a checkered past. A lot of people like to believe that they are... I find this out in my work with people in sessions, especially the public. And when I'm sitting there talking to them about meditation, inner work, the subject of the past always comes up one way or another, what they did. A lot of the things that we have done, we whitewash and try to make it look like we had every right to do it, or we should have done it, or it was the responsible thing to do, or the other person, whatever we did to them, they deserve this and all this other garbage. So we really go off on some very bad tangents. We really do. And I can't make that go away in a person. Sometimes it's quite frustrating for me to try to help people. We all have a past one way or the other. The problem with most of us is that we defend our past instead of looking at our past and seeing what were the qualities of it, why we were the way we were, or maybe still are the way we are, and learning how to change some things. So let me get into the questions here, and let's see what we have here. The first one comes from a man named Johnson, his first name. He does not tell me where he lives. He says, how do I live with my cruel past? I've done some things I'm not very proud of. I live with my head down, Johnson. I understand how you might feel about living with your head down. That moved me very deeply, Johnson, when I read your email. It moved me. I was so impressed with the vividness of what you said. Thank you for being so honest. How do you live with a past that has been cruel? It's a very difficult thing. Learning how to have remorse, where you look at what you've done, what you've said, with tremendous remorse, not regret, but remorse, is an art form. And the ego generally does not allow for remorse. It only allows for meager states of regret. The difference between regret and remorse is, in regret, I wish I hadn't had the circumstances turn out the way they did. I only doubt the idea that maybe there was a better way to be nasty, and I regret that it turned out the way it did. With remorse, it's totally different. I would never go back and do or handle things the way I did. In remorse, I realize the error, the unkindness, and I would never do it again. I could never do it again, at least not that way. In regret, I'd do it again. The same way, I wouldn't care about what happened or who was hurt or what my karma was all about. I just do it again, do it again, do it again. Because that's all I have going on in me is that kind of dog eat dog, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth kind of thing. And I would just maybe live in my pride, my vanity, my ego. I've had a lot of people do things to me that were regretful. I recently had a student come to me, a former student. I was at the hospital, and I saw him there. He saw me there. And he came over and gave me a big hug and a smooch, and he just looked at me with tears flowing out of his eyes, saying, I wish I hadn't left. I wish I hadn't done what I did. And he had great remorse in him. And Johnson, the reason I bring this up is I want you to really listen to me here. Maybe the whole reason he and I were together as student and teacher was for him to come, to listen, to do what he did as much as he could, which wasn't very much, and then to leave and realize he had made a terrible mistake by leaving his practice. And then to come back to me in a very awkward but sporadic moment, a moment of you couldn't plan. You just couldn't plan something like this. And come back to me and say, basically, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I wish I hadn't done what I did. Everything that I went through with this student, and I went through some things with him to help him. I do this with all of my students. I go through many different things with students. And maybe that was the whole purpose of us being together, that he could have a moment of remorse with a man, me, that loved him very much and could vividly accept his apology and understand him deeply. I think my acceptance of his apology was the whole key to everything. He hasn't had anybody in his life who truly loved him. Of course, he would tell you, and he would be accurate in saying this, that he didn't give anybody much of a reason to love him. And he was a difficult person, Johnson. He really was. And still is. But he had the courage to come to me in a moment where he had an opportunity. He could have ignored me. He could have not seen me. He could have, you know, just walked away. But he didn't, and he came over. He knew how hard I'd worked with him and the things I had done. And he hugged me. He knew. Maybe our whole life, his life and my life, came together in that one very vivid moment where we could embrace each other, love each other for what we are, what we've learned, the whole thing. Maybe that's all it's about, is just that moment. That's the way I live things. Each and every moment is the totality of my life. It is the crescendo of my living. The apex of my livingness is to come to a moment with anyone where there is kindness, where there is forgiveness, what Jesus called mercy. So, Johnson, you're going to get some opportunities, I guarantee you, in this world, where you will have the chance to do something humble. So humble that it annoys the Johnson in you and makes him feel angry or off-kilter, upset, maybe defensive, whatever. You're going to have those moments where your pride will be the thing that goeth before you ascend, as it were. And I would highly recommend that you have that chance and take advantage of that chance to be very loving and forgiving towards yourself and others. Show a state of mercy for everything that goes on in your life. Don't miss it. Don't let your pride stand in the way of saying to someone, I am deeply sorry for my behavior or what I did. And if someone comes to you with the same thing, make sure you always accept it for what it is, for how you love them. Because what you are doing in all of that is much greater than the act you performed that was unkind. Trust me, it's much greater. And that's really all that matters, is that you have that moment. Our lives are a series of crescendos, a series of very big opportunities for us to immerse ourselves in humility. And I know it's hard for the human ego to do all this, to want to do all this, but this is where we are. So, Johnson, be aware, forgive, and give. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. It's a very interesting email. Next one is Thomas. He does not tell me where he lives either. Nobody's telling me. Anyway, I want to forgive my past, but I just can't. There are things that I've done that are unbearable. What do I do, Thomas? There are things we've all done, Thomas, that shiver our timbers, believe me. And when retrospect, they look stupid and unkind. And during the time we're doing them, they look perfectly legitimate. And we think, well, this person deserved this because they did this or said that or whatever. And we only get involved in those kind of things, the alibis and the excuses for our cruelty. So you say you want to forgive your past, but you can't? Yes, you can. You know, Thomas may not be able to, the man, but there's a part in you and deep within you, within your deepest heart, where everything comes together in a kindness, and you are living in that kindness for the sake of love itself. I could tell you things like forgive yourself, liberate yourself, don't do it again, you know, those kind of silly things that most of us would think of as a way to forgive. But that won't help you in the middle of the night when it wakes you up and you start thinking about how difficult a person you've been in your lifetime. And for a lot of people, this takes an enormous amount of time, sometimes many, many lifetimes. When we are feeling the way you are, Thomas, and all of us have, I feel, from one time to another, We are not just talking about this life. We are talking about many lives that we have gone through, where we have been difficult people, just downright difficult. There is no deep appreciation for the kind of person we are, the kind of love that lives within us. And through logic and reasoning, you will never, ever, ever be able to live with what you've done. You have to see it this way, and I'm going to give you the essence of it all here. It won't make a lot of sense to you, but one day it might. The person that did all of these things that you're talking about no longer exists. The person who was angry or vengeful or unkind, you have to look inside and find out where that came from. Now, for the most part, it came from ideas of trying to defend our ego, defend our posture in our ego, defend everything that we do, and try to make it look like this is the only alternative we had to do something unkind and uncaring. But you must remember, Thomas, one way or another, everything you and I do, we do to ourselves eventually. And it's very, very painful for us to do this, to realize that the kind of venom I've had for you is the venom that I live off of within myself. And that will eventually sustain only the cycle of birth and death and birth and death over and over and over again. Nothing will ever mature. Nothing can ever mature within us. It is our energetics that is the most important thing in this world. What you and I cultivate through our energetics is extremely important, because it's that energy that goes out into the world, into life, and sustains all sorts of opportunities for things to happen to us. So if my energetic is that of my genetics, my DNA, and I'm only trying to perpetuate the myth of my DNA and my genetics as being the ways I survive, then I have missed. I have truly missed my entire life. Most of us act out of chemicals. We act out of the organs, brain. We act out of things inside of us that have nothing to do with the meaning of us. You have a meaning, and you must find it, Thomas. If you don't find the meaning of yourself in the course of this lifetime, you will never know why it is so important to love, forgive, and attain to your soul. Attain to the mercy that lives within you. You will never know. You will think you know. You will think you understand, because the mind creates all of the necessary accoutrements to become heavy-handed, vengeful, judgmental, unkind. The ego manufactures all the evidence necessary to make me believe that I have every right to do something immensely cruel and stupid. And we've all had this, and it's all chemicals. It is. It's all chemicals, and it's all the body. Robert M. Sapolsky is a very interesting man. You can go and see him on YouTube. His book, Behave, about our biology and how our biology works, and why, as he calls it, we do the worst and the best things to ourselves in this course of this lifetime, and why we have no choice at all as to why we do whatever we do and we don't until we become conscious. You will find the biology plays a huge role. My biology is my genetics, my DNA. And you'll see we haven't really changed much from caveman days, have we? Not much. So there you are, Thomas. The spiritual path is the only one that helps you and liberates you. And everybody will say, oh, I don't believe in that. That's a bunch of, you only live once and da-da-da-da-da. But you know something? It's really the only path there is. You're not here to be wealthy and rich and famous and notorious and all that other. You're here to awaken. And everything you do and everything you don't do is a part of that process of spiritual awakening. It just is. I don't make up the rules. This is just what I've found to be true in my life and in the lives of the students that I serve so diligently. You just think about it. Thank you, Thomas, for your beautiful question, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from Les in Los Angeles. I know this man. I have met him on a couple of occasions. Is our past our future? It eventually is so, Les. And you and I have talked about this. Yes, our past. It becomes ingrained in us. We become anesthetized by the past, and we make our path a continuum of everything that we believe we've done, both good and bad in our estimation, and we make that the way, the truth, and the light of us. And so we miss a great deal. We do a lot of silly things that are very painful, and we don't really see the meaning of ourselves upon the face of our own life. We really don't. So, repentance. Here's my motto. For every stupid thing that Greg Penn has ever done, I need to have some means of repentance to augment my stupidity. You know, people will say, you know, I don't like giving. I don't want to give. I don't want to do this. I don't want... Do you realize the debt, the karmic debt you and I have in this lifetime, in this world? And the offerings we make, the donations we make, the gifts we do to people and with people, don't you understand what they really are? They are the point of a person's sincerity that they really have a great deal of difficulty with. I could not pay back to this world or to this lifetime all of the crazy things that I've done both in this lifetime and in past lifetimes. I am more than willing to give my gift as a way of repentance, of restitution for the way I have behaved and acted and lived. And if you don't see it that way, if you don't understand the crap you've done and you are not willing to, shall we say, make restitution for it by lovingly making gifts and doing things to help people. Donations especially, because that just really rubs people giving money away. They just really, they hate that. Well, if you don't see it for what it is, then you're in the continuum. And I guarantee you, one way or another, you're going to be brought to your knees. And it would be better to be brought to your knees by the form of gratitude you have for the mercy that life has shown you than to go to your knees in pain and sorrow, in hatred and fear, trying to rationalize your own evil. It would be far better to go on your knees for the sake of humility, not humiliation. This is up to you, though. Very few people have the courage or the insight to be able to understand what I just said. So, there you are, Les. You and I have had many chats about this kind of thing. You've always resisted it. And now you ask the fundamental question, and it's very difficult for you, I'm sure, to understand it, as most of my listeners and viewers of my TV programs would take it. But there you are. There's your answer. There's the way, the truth, and hopefully you find your light. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there we are. Last question. I hope this helped you. It was a very important program, whether you knew it or not. I'll be back on the air next week, and have a beautiful, beautiful Sunday. And please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.